Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock. He'll be with us from 8 to 8.30 discussing all things NFL. Aaron Rodgers has emerged from his darkness retreat, so I'm sure Charles is very much looking forward to discussing that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, talking Titans, taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, some roster moves already made this week for the Titans. We'll see what more could be coming from Rand Carthon and Mike Vrabel as we move forward here. You brought up something yesterday that is interesting to me in terms of how the Titans view that position group moving forward, and that's at corner. I mean, we've talked so much this offseason about the offensive line and wide receiver, to the point where it's almost got me thinking, like, are they going to pick four offensive linemen in the draft coming up and like two wide receivers and call a day? It's going to be a fun time with the draft coverage coming up here over the next few weeks. But at corner, with Roger McCreary, with Christian Fulton and the injuries that he sustained, Elijah Molden basically missed all of last year. And then there's the Caleb Farley part of this too, where at this point, like, I don't know how you could expect anything from Caleb Farley. How does Rand Carthon, how does Mike Vrabel, how do Titans fans feel about the cornerback group on a passing offense that, while there are many reasons for this, or excuse me, passing defense, was the worst passing defense in the NFL? Now, again, there's a lot of different reasons we can get into as to why that was the case, but by the numbers, they were the worst passing defense in the NFL. How are you feeling about their group at corner as they move forward here?
Yeah, that stat, like, that's one of those stats where, you know, people around the league who don't really watch the Titans would probably, I assume, just look at it and be like, wow, boy, they must obviously need defensive backs, huh? Man, they must be really bad. Because that is a deceiving stat, I think, based on the personnel. So I do think the Titans need, they need another corner. You know, they've done pretty well finding veterans, bringing in veterans, and getting some pretty good play from them. I mean, I think any sort of significant add to the group has to be in the draft, I would think, just based on everything else. If you look at the whole picture, the cap and where they are, even though they've cleared a lot of space this week, I would think it would need to be a drafted cornerback. But I won't be surprised if it's, you know, sooner than later in the draft, if they go get one. It's just, again, you can make the case for so many. You can make the case in the draft four offensive linemen, you know?
Yeah.
So, and it's like it at the tight end class is supposed to be, that may be the best position in the draft per some people.
Yeah.
So you're, you know, you could go deep in the draft and get a really good one there, and you still need another tight end, even though Chig had a good rookie year. But yeah, I feel like you're risking a bit if you just feel like you're going to be good and just McCreary, Fulton, Molden, and all set. If you knew they were going to be healthy all year, I think you would do that. But two of those three, you can't feel that comfortable about that.
Well, and Fulton, you're getting ready to have to make a decision on him with his contract too, right? And right. I don't know how they view that. I mean, we talked about David Long Jr. yesterday and things that Mike Vrabel had to say about his injury history. Well, he said some similar things about Christian Fulton. And we've discussed this before, but like Fulton, when he's been on the field, I think is a good player, but he's missed a lot of games over his first 3 years. And, you've got him, you've got McCreary, who I feel good about McCreary. I think for the most part, he played pretty well this past year. But the Molden part of this, can he stay healthy next year? Fulton, can he stay healthy? And if one of those two guys gets hurt, like, what do you do at that point if you're the Titans? I agree. Like, they've got to address that position in some form or fashion this offseason. Now, having said that, there's a whole lot to address. I mean, we've discussed it. The offensive line, wide receiver, you know, what are you going to do at middle linebacker? Do you feel that Monty Rice is ready to go? Is David Long Jr. coming back? I mean, there's a whole lot of questions that go into it, but I would say that I am skeptical about what this cornerback group is going to bring to the table coming up next year based on really nothing more than their injury history. Like, I don't think you can ignore the history of those guys getting hurt heading into the season. Now, hopefully with Molden, it's the groin It was bad luck. He could never get over it. And with an offseason, he's healthy, and that's it moving forward. Like Fulton, it's just been one thing after another that he's been hurt with.
Yeah, I mean, Fulton is, to me, he's going to have to, I would not expect an extension before the season. I think he's got to prove that he can stay on the field. I think when he has been on, he's demonstrated pretty well that, that he's a good player. He may not be, a number one cornerback as far as like one of the elite guys, but a good cornerback and a guy that you feel like you can put him on a lot of the top receivers in the league and feel like you have a chance. But I would think that he would have to prove it this year. I mean, it's a prove it year for him.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, really as far as everybody else, they've weaved in different guys who have given them some good stuff. I mean, this last year they had to do that, but I don't know how many of those veteran guys you do have Chris Jackson coming back. He had a season-ending injury, which I forgot what it was now. It was so long ago. But he is someone you could have for depth, and he's preferably, ideally, a depth guy, but at least he is a reliable veteran depth guy. I feel like just because of – I'm discounting Farley right now. I mean, if Farley could actually be healthy and be your fourth corner, then okay. But so far we just haven't seen – him be able to be healthy or him be able to play well when he's played. So I think that may have to be a draft pick. I can't say, I don't even know what the corner group is in free agency, but I don't see a spend there.
I mean, that'd be, you can't spend money everywhere. To me, I'd rather you spend money on the offensive line, right? Like bring in some quality offensive linemen and then fill in the rest of those needs in the draft. But that's the decision that Rand Carthon is going to have to make. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Mark from Nashville. Mark, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how y'all doing, fellas? Joe, Robbie.
We're good.
I was listening to y'all. I had made a comment a couple of weeks ago about trading back with that 11th pick. And like Robbie said, I maybe will get me some offensive linemen. But maybe in the later rounds, you could find you some quality DBs. Just like, Rand Carthon, he comes from the 49ers network. And maybe, they're good at drafting guys in the later rounds. Maybe the Titans could do that. I know you talk about the corners and everything, but I'd be addressing things with my free safety, my safety, and my other safety or whatever, because one stays hurt all the time. Kevin Barrett is getting a little older. Maybe time, I'm not saying to replace him, but it may be time to bring somebody in there who could come in behind him when it does time for him to do whatever and be that next guy up. And like you said, get some quality offensive linemen maybe through free agency or through the draft. But that's what I would do, and maybe get you another wide receiver or tight end in those later rounds, because it is going to be some good quality tight ends in that 4th, 5th, and 6th round still on the board.
Mark, thanks for the call, buddy. We appreciate it. All right, so one thing he brought up there that's interesting to me, Joe, is the idea of trading back at 11. Now, the thing is, like, when you have the 11th overall pick, like, there's no guarantee that you can trade back, right? Like, if you've got number one overall, certainly, but like even like number four, number five, number six, and overall, you could probably trade back. Like there's probably somebody that's willing to trade up, and whether it's to move up to get a quarterback or the run on receivers start, whatever it is, like you could probably find a partner to trade back. I'm not saying you can't do it at 11. I just think it's probably not something that you can rely on doing if you're at number 11 overall.
Right. Who wants to get to 11 and why? If you're the Titans, and you'd like to do that, then I think there's definitely a case to be made. What you need to hope is that, like, Anthony Richardson is still there at 11.
Right.
Now maybe you want him. But if not,
if they draft Anthony Richardson, it's going to be quite the day on this program.
Oh, my goodness. Well, hey, our Raiders one of our Raiders beat writers, Deshaun Reed, traded up to 5 to get Richardson. So, like, Raiders fans are furious with him. And it's like, it's just a mock draft, everybody. Calm down. But, it's like you said, it's like, what's the coveted player at that spot that someone wants to move into? And it usually has to be a quarterback. But, yeah, Jalen Carter is going to go way higher. But there's an example of a non-quarterback who can get people moving around. Another thing on this is just the free agency offensive lineman. We've talked about receivers. Free agency offensive lineman also doesn't look great. We had I don't listen to podcasts a ton, but the football show we have, which is Robert Mays and Nate Tice, they devoted an episode yesterday to the Titans, which is really interesting. It was a very good discussion, and I'm always impressed when people outside the market actually know a team, and they do.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. And one of the things that they talked about was, one, the defensive talent, but even like the Byard situation. I don't see how the Titans consider moving on from Kevin Byard. I don't think they will. That is a big cap number. And I agree with Mark that certainly safety depth has got to be addressed. Like, they've been trying to do that too. Remember, they drafted Brady Breeze a couple years ago, but that's got to be addressed too. But it was really interesting. These guys in particular, the plan they have for the Titans, which is actually a plan that we talked about a few weeks ago. And maybe we can talk about that next.
We will do that coming up next. 615-737-1025. More of your thoughts on the Titans as well. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, you were referencing a conversation on the Athletic Football Show about a plan for the Titans this offseason that apparently we have discussed before.
Yeah, Robert Mays, Nate Tice. I was impressed. Other than with a little bit of pronunciation issues, is understandable out of market. And Nate Tice admitted that he didn't even want to try to mess with Chigakonkwo. But it is, as we've discussed, Rand Carthon.
It is.
And also, it is not Treylon Burks. It's Treylon Burks. But other than that, these are my only nitpicks. But yes, they are big on the Fink. They are big believers in the Fink. Although the interesting thing about that is, so essentially, move on from Tannehill, not move on from Henry.
Yeah.
But they're big on, look at 24. The 24 draft, get your quarterback then.
Right.
Which could work, but you're going to have to stink. Yeah, or you're going to have to stink, or you're going to have to really, come up with some magic to beat out teams that are, either at the top of the draft and are just going to take them, or close to the top of the draft and are going to trade, can trade and a team could just move down two spots, right? I mean, it's hard to do if you don't stink. They had an interesting thought, though, one, the Malik Willis, we've talked about that, basically, hey, let's see what he can do. And certainly I think if the Titans did that, then I think they'd be in a pretty favorable position in the 24 draft. Agreed. But this also goes to all of it with Vrabel and the defense and how in some areas, they are not in a position to wait or, you know, or try to redirect or reset. But they had the idea also of possibly, you know, going out to get like another veteran, I guess, basically not as good as Tannehill.
Yeah.
Like they threw out Baker, for example, which okay. I just don't see that. I mean, I've kind of moved away personally from the idea of the Fank, just based on their comments. And just, yeah, again, just the more you think about Vrabel, I have a hard time believing he would have an appetite for that.
The fact that you keep referring to this as the Fank makes me so happy.
I mean, and I think there's going to be a lot of Fanking this year. Oh, that's, you know what the best Fank is? Did you see what Jason Light said?
No.
He said,
oh, yeah. Kyle Trask, yeah. The best quarterback in the NFC South.
Yeah, he's Fanking his butt off. Yeah. The Bucks are just on the Fank train all the way. Yeah, Kyle Trask, man, we really believe. And it's just like, oh, yeah, get him out there. We'll go 3-14 and Caleb Williams, come on down. I mean,
that's right.
There are a lot of teams that are looking at 24. I'm sure of that. Like, there's going to be, gosh, it kind of does depend too, that like on their evaluations now. It's just like with the Titans, you take it to the whole league. Look at these quarterbacks now. Do you love any of them? Again, I personally, as a non-expert who doesn't do this, you know, who doesn't evaluate players for a living and doesn't have my job stake to it, I do love Bryce Young. I think he's going to be great. But do these teams love him or Stroud or Levis, Richardson, Hooker, whoever? You know, what if kind of across the board, they just don't quite believe in it? Because this is the point that those guys made in the podcast. And I do agree with this. You know, with all of these quarterbacks, you can find a flaw. Like there's a clear flaw or a clear detracting trait, you know, that gives you a little bit of pause. Now, I don't know how, like next year, are we sure that like Caleb Williams or Drake May are going to be flawless prospects? Like there's nothing to nitpick with either of them.
Right.
Yeah, I have my doubts about that, but there's a good chance that those two guys are better prospects than any of these players in the consensus. Again, for me personally, and this is a lot of just intangibles, I think Bryce Young is the guy. But the bottom line is a bunch of teams in this league, I think, are going to end up concluding that they need to look at next year to get their quarterback. So that's going to make it tough for the Titans to do the Fank and make it work.
Well, that's the thing. Like I hear, and we've had the discussion about the quarterback part of this, and some people have said, well, just ride it out with Tannehill another year and then go get your quarterback next year where the quarterbacks are better. I'm like, well, that sounds great, but how do you do that? Like if Tannehill is your quarterback next year, like you're going to be good enough to where you're not going to be picking in the top five, probably not the top 10. Like I realize they're at 11 this year. Now Tannehill was hurt for a lot of the year, but you're going to be good enough where you're probably not going to have access to the Caleb Williams, Drake May part of this. So, you know, I'm not saying that you go pick a quarterback this year and try to move up this year just for that. I'm just saying like the idea of, oh, you can just go find your quarterback in 2024 is going to be way harder than I think a lot of people realize.
Yeah. And look, there are other quarterbacks who could be interesting next year. Like I'm not a huge Michael. I think Michael Penix, he's a good college quarterback. I'm not a huge believer in him as a pro. Now, Joe Milton, on the other hand.
Yeah, you are.
I don't know. Well, it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, it's just – so then if it doesn't work out, then where are you, you know? Hey, look, Ryan Tannehill may have 3-4 good years ahead of him, and it may be you build around him and you really build it up, and all of a sudden he looks more like 2019-2020 Ryan Tannehill. There's always that possibility, but how much confidence is there in that, in the building?
I mean, I couldn't imagine there's very much. I don't know that. I just couldn't imagine that there's very much. I look at, because I agree with you. I think a lot of teams are looking at 2024 with the idea of, okay, well, we could find a good quarterback then and kind of reset where we are as a franchise. Like, I think Tampa is a perfect example, right? You won a Super Bowl with Brady. you had Brady come and you had his run for 3 years there, and now you're trying to figure out how to reset moving forward. Now, you're also in a terrible division, and who knows? Like maybe Kyle Trask is the best quarterback in the division. I have my doubts about that, but who knows? We'll wait and see what happens on that front. I'm just saying there are a lot of teams where you look at where they're at with their roster and where they're at with their franchise. It makes sense to kind of reset and look ahead to 2024 and try to find those pieces. Like, look, Caleb Williams, a lot of people think he's going to be great. Like, they think he's going to be great. I have no idea. I mean, I've obviously watched him play. He's really good, clearly. But I have no idea. Like, you know, TD has thrown out the Patrick Mahomes comparison. I mean, that's a pretty lofty bar with Caleb Williams. So I don't know what that's going to look like. Drake May, I think he's going to be pretty good. But like, I also think it could be a dangerous game to play sometimes, putting all your eggs in the basket of a guy that's never taken a snap in the NFL yet. And I'm interested to see, like, how many teams are just committed to being bad this year to try to get the number one overall pick.
Moving is no fun and can be expensive. You can save on your next move with Nashville's best deal from Black Tie Movie. Get $200 off a half day move for just $75 or $400 off a full day move for $150 at thegamenashville.com.
The point those guys made too.
/deals. Welcome back in Robbie Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Michelle Kinect. That's Victor Olivia. We'll have Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans.
615-737-1025.
615-737-1025.
It would be
1025.
So, Joe, for one thing, it would be very big.
We've spent so much time at the number 11 overall pick.
I think May's pretty
discussing
special.
Offensive lineman right and now, wide receiver.
In my mind, like,
is there a chance? Do you think that they go a different route at number 11? And I'm not talking moving up to go get a quarterback. But if they stay at 11, do you think there's a chance they take something that's not an offensive lineman or wide receiver with that pick?
There's a bunch of teams. I mean, it's look. If you might make a move, even like in the free agency,
we're just going with the board.
Might make a move,
going with the board, and not going.
It seems like the Jets are committed. I need, but by the board now with their core.
What if
you know?
What if there's just a player at a different position? There, like it just this player is just too good.
I think a lot. It's a lot of the
pass up. Number one on the board, got to go that way.
Obviously, there's just a big void of good quarterbacks there.
Even I think that them are like teams that claim to strictly go by the board. Sometimes,
That could make sense. Also, it could make sense for them to just stink out loud this year.
So,
you know,
and at this point, if they pick 11,
year one, man.
And again, this is not knowing
out there,
what else may happen before the draft.
Stinks, okay.
But if they pick 11,
you're in great position.
I mean,
you
I've got to say,
local kid,
my expectation would be probably north of 90%.
A lot of teams thinking that way.
That they would go one of those.
615-737-1025. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Get to what you think
they
should do in the draft. And there's one particular draft question that I've got in mind with the Titans
right now,
that I'm interested to get Joe's thoughts on. Next, we'll do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road,
1025-1063,
The Game.
To refresh my memory on, like, who might be, like, an edge player in that range where they're like, you know what? This is the, you know, like, this is the best player on our board, and it's still a big need, too. And there's, you know, there's some second-round tackles we like. There's definitely in this draft some – I think the thing about this draft at receiver is it's definitely not top-heavy good, right?
Yeah.
But there are definitely a lot of late first fringe, like second-round guys that certainly you could make a case for. So, whereas maybe you're overdrafting if you take like a Quentin Johnston at 11. He seems to be the, you know, the consensus receiver first pick, but maybe you're – maybe they determine that's just reaching to take him there. So I don't know. How about Miles Murphy, the Clemson edge, if he's sitting there and he's just like they have to go there. By the way, number three on Bruce Feldman's freak list this last year for whatever that's worth. But good, I mean, a very good player, you know. That would solve a problem right there. If you get him, he's what you think he is. He's there for you. And now you have him to go with Landry and Rashad Weaver. You feel good about that spot. So there's like 99% of the positions I think they would take at 11 right there.
I agree. Like if I had to identify one outside of out of offensive line or wide receiver, it would be edge rusher. Like, I also don't think they're taking like a guard at number 11 overall. I don't think that's happening. That could be a tackle or a wide receiver or maybe an edge rusher. Like, that's really the only route I could see them going beyond moving up to go get a quarterback. I mean, I guess if one of these quarterbacks fell unexpectedly and you had an opportunity to take one of them at 11, would you do it? Like, if, I don't know, if Will Levis fell to 11, would you consider that if you're the Titans? I have no idea.
I mean, only if you decided already that you badly need Will Levis. And if that's the case, you probably tried to move up to get him, right?
Probably.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, to me, if you're just like, well, shoot, all right, this quarterback's here, let's do it, then I think you're, you know, like that. I just don't think that's the way to go. Are you getting blown up by Jared right now?
No.
God, dude, isn't he on vacation?
I thought so.
First of all, just ripping the Athletic Football Show. Okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, the whole Vrabel, there's no way Vrabel would consider. And, you know, basically Vrabel considered the Fank or whatever, you know, and all that, which is fine. I don't necessarily disagree. But here's my thing with Tannehill. If Tannehill is going to be your quarterback this year, you have to believe that you can be great, right? Not just okay.
Agreed.
Like, being okay this year with him, like, oh, well, that'll be another solid year, 9-8. Like, you, like, and again, this isn't just Vrabel. This is Rand Carthon, the new GM. This is, you know, this is Amy Adams Strong. Can you be great? Can you contend? If you don't think you can contend legitimately in the AFC, if you don't think you can legitimately win the AFC South, then Tannehill shouldn't be your quarterback.
I agree. Well, like I said, that the day after the season ended, we talked about this. Like, if you're going to bring Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry back, that tells me that you still think you can win and you still think that you can compete in the AFC, whether that's in your division. But I'm not even talking about just the division. Like, to me, you need to think that you have a chance to win a Super Bowl, right? And whatever you need to do around those guys on the offensive line and at wide receiver. But, like, if you're bringing those two back with the window and the stage of their careers that they're in, that tells me that you think you have a chance to compete. If you don't think you have a chance to compete, I don't know why you're bringing him back. Like, that's why I'm still kind of leaving the door open to Ryan Tannehill not being the quarterback next year. I think you're at 86%. I'm probably a little bit lower than that. But I don't know what the point of bringing those two guys back would be if you don't think that you can win around those guys. Like, just, oh, well, Ryan Tannehill's not bad. Oh, well, that's great. What does that mean for your chances to go compete and win a Super Bowl? Like, I think it's pretty clear Mike Vrabel likes Ryan Tannehill. I think that's been pretty clear over the past couple of years. But if you don't think you can win a championship with him, then what are we doing?
Exactly. No, Mike Vrabel, every week in a season, every moment of a day leading into a game, and every moment of that game, like, every fiber in his body is going to be to win the game, right? But that, like, we don't know that he doesn't look at the big picture and things like that. He knows what it takes to win in this league, you know? Okay, Jared, go back to the beach. He said, you guys treat it like the gap between Jacksonville and the Titans is a gap between the Preds and Colorado. No, I'm not saying that. But you better be confident you can win it. You better be confident, you know, that you can. Again, it's not just Tannehill, but it's like, because you can do this to fix the offensive line. What Jared thinks is just, nope, that's a piece of cake. Just, oh, yeah, they fixed the offensive line in 2016, no problem. You also can have fixed the receiving core, and you have to shore up your defense. So if you think you can do that and that Tannehill is good enough, great. Then go with it. But the more I think about it, as the combine approaches, and I'm thinking, you know, just in terms of what they're going to be doing next week, how they're approaching it, I'm moving away from it should be Tannehill. That's just me. That's how my thought process is going. Will from Clarksville says, how many amazing QBs have come from USC and flopped in the NFL? I wouldn't hold my breath in Caleb Williams. Here's a pet peeve. Like,
like Matt Leinart playing for Pete Carroll at USC means what to Caleb Williams right now? Like, because they wore the same color of uniform and both played football in Southern California, there's any link at all? Why?
Right.
It means nothing. I mean, you can make a, if you want to look at a certain coach's program that struggles to turn out quarterbacks, you know, I mean, people have said that about Saban. Okay, I guess you can do that, even though he's also had totally different OCs and systems and all that. But, like, huh? Means nothing.
Well,
everybody's pissing me off right now.
Well, if you want to do that, it's Lincoln Riley, right? I mean, that's what really matters. Yes. I mean, Caleb Williams was at Oklahoma. Like, it's not like he was.
Exactly.
Like, it's Lincoln Riley that you would look at.
And Jalen Hurts seems to be doing okay in the NFL.
And which, Kyler Murray?
Saban will also take credit.
Yes, he will. Kyler Murray is, when he's playing Call of Duty, he's all right every now and then.
He's not like he's, yeah, he's not dog water.
Get Baker, who some people think could be the next quarterback of the Titans. Who knows?
Lincoln Riley's got track
record. There's so many possibilities. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program. We will do that coming up next, and looking forward to that. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025-1063, the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Shot me out of the sky, you're my kryptonite.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45 here on the program, either the Rex Rant, the Rob Rant, or the Red Rant. Joe, the floor is yours. I turn things over to you.
Gosh, I mean, I may need to change because Jared won't stop blowing me up. I mean, my gosh, man. Like, now he's telling me I've lost my marbles. Like, I've just lost my marbles because apparently Jared's got the Titans win it all next year. I mean, so I will say, like, get excited, everybody, because Jared is absolutely bullish. The Titans are going to be amazing. No problem fixing all this stuff. They're going to be looking good. And so we've at least established that today.
That's good to know.
Yeah. Again, we'll get into my actual planned rant, okay? But, yeah, I'm sticking at 86, okay? I said 86% Tannehill's coming back. What I'm saying is I'm increasingly dubious of it's just as you look closer at everything, who's available in free agency at the two most important positions that they have to address, position groups that they have to address, the draft, but look at the whole picture. I really have my doubts that they're going to be able to, in one off season, be good enough to, you know, to be what they need to be to continue with Tannehill as quarterback. But we can talk about that later. What I want to talk about today is Brandon Miller in that situation. For those who don't know, to do a quick, and Michelle referred to it earlier, and really that, what, you know, Michelle calling out Nate Oates, I mean, that's really the big problem here is Nate Oates. But the situation with Brandon Miller is also, it's really interesting. I've seen a lot of very, very angry discussion about this the last few days. It's just an awful, awful situation. You know, and I would invite anyone, if you want to read something about this, read Joseph Goodman's column at AL.com. He got in touch with Jamia Harris's family. She is the young woman who was killed, young mother who was killed in this shootout involving Alabama basketball players. Her stepfather called Joseph Goodman and
And his comments about Nate Oates, I mean, you talk about bringing it home. They are disgusted and they are heartbroken. They're sitting there at dinner watching a press conference where Nate Oates is just blowing this off. Yeah, kids will be kids. I mean, it was a ridiculous, like, tone deaf doesn't begin to describe what Nate Oates has been here. Nate Oates, through all this, looks like the epitome of the win at all cost coach. Don't give a crap. These players are useful for my purposes, and that's that. And oh, yeah, thoughts and prayers to your family. He looks right. Ridiculous. The Brandon Miller situation to me is a lot more complicated. And for those who don't know, to quickly summarize, he brought the weapon. This was revealed this week on testimony in a hearing. He brought the weapon that was eventually used in the murder. And again, it was a shootout. Lawyers say this will be proved to be self-defense. I mean, I don't, you know, we'll see how the trial plays out. But the bottom line is, according to their testimony, he brought the weapon to the scene. Not his weapon, but it was, I believe it was Darius Miller's weapon. I want to make sure. I believe that is correct. It was not Brandon Miller's. But here's the thing with that situation. The tone-deaf responses by Nate Oates, absolutely ridiculous. The other night, Brandon Miller has like 41 at South Carolina. They're all screaming like, lock him up and everything about him. According to the district attorney, there's nothing to charge him with here. Now, right. Again, watching Law & Order, I'm like, aiding and abetting? I don't know. But he's not going to be charged. So a lot of people are saying, well, how could Alabama, when they find out this information, not suspend him that day? So this kind of brings me back to, it's a very different situation, but it reminds me of it in a way. And this may be the most I've ever screamed at people. If you go back more than a decade now, or about a decade when everything started coming out, for those of you who remember the Jerry Sandusky situation at Penn State, an awful, awful situation. He was Joe Paterno's defensive coordinator. I mean, he raped children. He terrorized children, you know, through the guise of a charity, and it's just a horrific situation. And my whole thing at that time was, you're going to give them some NCAA scholarship sanctions. Like, to me, you are trivializing the victims. Like, I want people, when that happens, to go to prison, and I want real punishment. And like making this like sports sanctions, to me, trivialize it. This was not a popular opinion. I got in these screaming matches with some of my good friends also in media about that. That's how I felt about it. So the reason I bring that up is because I look at this and it's like, think about what you would say. You're like, Brad, so you brought that gun that killed this young woman. You know what? 2-game suspension for you, Brandon. You know, like think about that. To me, it's hollow, and I think it would also trivialize the situation. If you found this out, and they, apparently Greg Byrne, their AD, and Oates, like, this is new information to them too. Well, to me, it's either you kick him off your team, right? You're right. Done with him. Or, like, if he's not charged with anything, it's a terrible, terrible situation. You have to deal with it publicly way better than Nate Oates did. But I don't – like, other than that, I think that you continue to play your season out. And I'm – welcome, open to disagreements on that, but that's how I view the situation. I think some suspension for this would be incredibly lame, and again, I think would trivialize it.
Well, and to that point, there was a lot of backlash of him being in the game the other night, right? I mean, you mentioned it. They played on the road at South Carolina. I think he put up 41 points. They had to go into overtime. They eventually won the game, but there was a lot of reaction to him playing in the game, and some of the comments, obviously, that you brought up with Nate Oates were a big part of this story. But a lot of people, they were discussing this on ESPN. They have, you know, lots of reports live from the game in South Carolina the other night. A lot of people very upset that Brandon Miller was playing in that game after the after that information came out. I mean, look, like you said, the Brandon Miller part of this is very complicated because, like you said, he's not going to be charged. Like, he's not going to be charged in this situation. So what do you do from that standpoint if you're Nate Oates in Alabama? You know, do you sit him down? I hear what you're saying. Like, could that trivialize the situation? Is that making it a sports situation when it really doesn't need to be. Some people have said they need to kick him off the team, which I'm open to having that discussion, but a lot of people very mad, very upset that he played the other night against South Carolina. I can tell you that.
Yeah, look, and the fact that he's a great player, he's going to be a high pick and all that stuff. And, of course, Brandon Miller is from the Mid-State, by the way. You know, the fact that that's the case, of course, then people look at this and say, ah, okay, because the superstar player, you know, you're just going to – and I get it. But they are claiming – I mean, this is a trial. It's a terrible situation that this young mother got killed. Bringing the gun to a situation – and again, when self-defense is claimed, does not mean that you're saying, go murder someone. You brought a gun to someone. I mean, it's a terrible thing to be involved in. No question. All of it is terrible. But the claim is self-defense. And he wasn't involved directly in the shooting. Like, it was a terrible job of communicating from Nate Oates. But one, it is sports, so to be a cynic, I don't think there's any major programs in the country where it would be a different outcome.
Yeah.
As you look at the whole thing, I'm not sure it's the wrong outcome.
John on the text line says, he shouldn't be able to play just because he wasn't charged doesn't mean consequences can't follow, whether civil or not. Take Watson, for example. They couldn't charge him, but he still had to pay for it, I assume referring to Deshaun Watson. Chris in Nashville says, as an Alabama fan, he should be off the team. Oates has disgusted me. This is from Chris in Nashville on the text line.
Okay. Yeah, look, I mean, it's tough. I mean, there's a trial to come in which we're going to find out more about this shooting and what happened. And again, he brought a gun to a situation, and then what happened. As far as trying to tie this to Watson, Deshaun Watson was a sexual predator to women, okay? And there does not need to be a single charge for what he directly did, and all of the details are publicly available. That's a terrible comparison.
615-737-1025. This has been the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning at 745 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. He'll be with us the next 30 minutes discussing all things NFL. We'll get into some of his thoughts on the Titans as well. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.